For this talk, we're going to try an experiment of asking as many people as feel comfortable with it to turn on their video so that Drar can see all of your happy faces. All right.
Or faces, whichever way it will be.
Or you know, discontented faces. Okay, and since we're still waiting for 12:30, I'll remind you that next week we have Alexander Rasmussen and Will Rushworth, and the next deadline to apply to be to speak in the seminar is May 15th. And now it's time, so we're going to have Drar Barnaton, who's going to tell us about over then under tangles, and take it away.
Okay, so let me start. So, my keyboard is not responding. That's no good. Okay, it's back. What? Okay, good. I'm sorry about that. I'm starting now. Okay, so over then under tangles, my abstract is here. I hope you read it. It's based on a paper in preparation with Zsuzsanna Dancsó and Roland van der Veen. In a minute, you'll see the URL, and over there you can get the handout to look at, and also links to, the URL is down here at the bottom. But here it is in a bigger font. And also, you know, Zoom etiquette, if you can see me, I should be able to see you, right? I want to see your faces. I'm seeing 25 of them right now, and it's nice. And I'll be following a handout, and here it is all at once. And also, I should apologize. So I think this series was advertised as "Tell us about what you do," and it's kind of not at all what I do. It's basically went on a tangent like 2 months ago, and then a week ago I went on a tangent from a tangent to the tangent, and started finding fun things about graphs and braids. And in particular, every braid has a fun directed graph associated with it. But it could be an embarrassment, because likely somebody in this virtual room knows about this a lot more than me and has a lot more to say. But at least the pictures will be fun. So here is where the graphs come from. So first of all, I want to tell you about an old story about how to convert braids into elements of the mapping class group, and therefore systems of curves in the plane. So let me do it more slowly. So here is a braid. I take a pool of tahini sauce, and I sprinkle parsley, green parsley lines from the edge of the pool to the points where the braid meets the tahini sauce. And then I start pushing the braid in, and as it pushes in, it steers the tahini sauce, and the line of parsley gets mixed. So first step, I push it one crossing in, and these 2 points trade places. And as a result, the lines of parsley become these lines. Then I push a bit more, and these 2 points trade places. And the whole picture gets discombobulated as such. And it gets even worse when I push in the last crossing, and these 2 points trade places. And again, the tahini mixes and the lines of parsley mixes, and they come back to here, and they get to here. And this is in fact, so we got a system of green curves, non-intersecting green curves in the plane, going from the edge to points in the center. And this is a complete invariant of braids. An easy way to see it is to simply pull up. So if you pull up the braid, the green lines lift a bit, like so now they're not made of parsley anymore. Now they're made of green string. So they lift a bit, and when I view from the side, I see a braid, and that recovers the braid. But suppose I wanted to do it algebraically. So algebraically, I could ask myself which interchanges, which braid generators I can apply to this picture so as to reduce its complexity, where I measure complexity by the number of shaded points, basically points hidden behind these black lines. Okay, so maybe best is if I'll show you an example. So if you look at, can you see that, by the way? I hope this is large enough. Okay, so if you look at this particular configuration of plane points, it has of plane curves, it has complexity 3 because it intersects the vertical lines 3 times, here, here, and here. And it's easy to see that if I interchange these 2 points, if I interchange these 2 points, I can reduce the complexity to 2. And then I can interchange these 2 points and reduce the complexity to 1. And then I can interchange these 2 points and reduce the complexity to 0. But in fact, I could have also reduced complexity by first interchanging these 2 points, get this picture. It looks more complicated, but by my counting, it's actually simpler because it only has 2 intersection points with the vertical lines, with the shadows of the vertical lines. Anyway, this one I can again simplify by twisting these 2, and then I can again simplify by twisting these 2, and in both cases, I get to here. And my conclusion is that the graph associated to this braid, so in fact, this curve diagram corresponds to this braid, and the graph associated to it is the hexagon with a vertex labeled 3 at the top because there are 3 crossing points here. And then I can also label the edges. It's a directed graph, the direction of flow. And then I can also label the edges with which generators are used, and that's the graph for this braid. Now you can ask yourself, okay, so these are the graphs I want to talk about, and I think probably everybody knows everything about them except for me, but I only learned them a few days ago, and I wrote a program to compute them, and they came out really nice. So here are a few examples. So first of all, here is the program. If you zoom in, you know, I can zoom in, you can actually read the code, but that's not the point. The point is, I just wanted to show the program exists. It's not too terrible. Next, and it does actually a lot more because everything came out of a different story. So next, here is the braid corresponding to, the graph corresponding to the braid 1-1, which is exactly the braid I've shown before. And in fact, this is exactly the graph I've shown before. Okay. The only difference is that my convention for labeling crossings is for labeling braid generators is different. Instead of writing sigma one, I write strand now one crosses over strand 2. So I call it sigma 1-2. Anyway. Here is the braid that I used to demonstrate the steering process. It was the braid 1-2-1, and its extraction graph is not terribly exciting. Basically, there is only one way to simplify it. This is if you add, this is actually the standard braid, like which you do with hair. Okay. So, here is another step, and again, it's dull. But it can get more interesting. I found a braid whose closure is the knot for 1. That's not for any reason, just because it's fun, just because I wanted some examples. So that's the braid -1-2, -1-2. And here is its extraction graph. When you extract generators from the Tahini pool, you get this graph of possible extractions. It's getting more complicated. Okay.
Sorry, can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
So that was the figure 8 you just did?
Yep.
Now, the one you did before that, you said this hair braid one. Isn't that also the figure 8?
Oh, that's possible. That's not a knot invariant. It's a braid invariant.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
I'm just looking for examples for braids. The not for one is really irrelevant there. Okay. By the way, you can read off the braid from the graph, because if you follow any path down and multiply the generators, you get your braid. So in fact, this graph gives you finitely many ways of presenting your braid, but canonical ways of presenting your braid in terms of the generators, which are in some sense optimal or minimal. Of course, there isn't a unique optimal way, but there are only finitely many, and I never knew that before. Anyway, well, it can get more complicated. So this is the braid that this is a standard braid whose closure is the knot 6-1, and that's the extraction graph for it. It's a bit complicated. Sorry, it's a bit hard to see. It gets worse. This is 8-1, and I've actually also computed the graph for 10-1, but never printed it because I was afraid of gravitational collapse. It's like a black hole. But let's go back to less complicated thing. Why did I do this one? This is the knot 6-3, and or a braid whose closure is the knot 6-3, and here's the graph. And this is the Garside 4 braid. So the full twist of four strands, not the full, the half twist of four strands, gives you this graph. I think it's the permutahedron of order 4. I'm not 100% sure of that. This is the Garside of order 5. I think it's the permutahedron of order 5. I don't know that, but here it is. And finally, the whole story also works for virtual braids, and that's actually a surprise, because the story I told about mixing tahini sauce doesn't make sense for virtual braids, but there is an alternative story, and I will tell it next. And for virtual, and here is a virtual braid example. So if you look at the braid defined by strand number 3 goes over strand number 1 in a negative crossing, then 2 goes over 4 in a negative crossing, well, and so on. Here is the corresponding graph.
Dror, there's a question from Mark Bell. So the question is there always a path of monotonically decreasing complexity, or yes, can you get stuck in a local minimum on the way down?
No, you do not get stuck. You can always find a path from the top to the bottom. Maybe I'll have to ask a question for you. Does this ring a bell to anybody? I mean, it's so much fun. At least for a week, I thought it was fun. Maybe now you'll tell me that everything is well known, but is it well known? Does everybody know about these graphs?
Okay. I don't know about these graphs.
Okay, the code, sorry, who was this?
That's okay, me.
So the code is on my website. You can download it and play. Okay, you get fun graphs or fun braids. Anyway, that is the last week. And now begins my talk as I envisioned it when I wrote the abstract about 2 weeks ago. And that's still not what I normally do. It's still a tangent to what I normally do. So I want to tell you a super amazing story. Well, with some weaknesses, about over than under tangles. So an over than under tangle diagram is a tangle diagram in which when you follow each strand, all the over crossings come before all the under crossings. And to signify the point where you transition from over to under, I put a bow tie. So here I have 0 overcrossings, then I go under. Here I have an overcrossing, then I go, 0 under. Here is a braid, which is not an OU tangle and not an OU diagram, because if you follow strand 2, you go under, then over. But in fact, this braid as a tangle is equivalent to this tangle. Simply untwist this kink and you'll get this. And this tangle is OU. So as a tangle, it is OU. As a diagram, it is not. Right, this is OU because I go over, then under, and on strand one, I go over, over, then under, under. And things can get complicated. So here is a, well, an OU tangle, which is a bit hard to see, but it can get complicated. Okay, I claim that every tangle is equivalent to an OU tangle, can be moved. You can find a tangle diagram, which is OU, for every tangle. And the proof is completely simple. Suppose you have a piece of a tangle diagram, which is not OU. So on strand three here, I go U and then O, under and then over. Well, I simply slide strand number three up and slide number two down, and I fixed strand number three. And I didn't spoil strand number one and strand number two, because strand number two was all over and now it's again all over. And strand number one was under and now again it's under. Now you can argue that I've made the lengths of the OOO stretches or the UUU stretches longer, because instead of a single O, here I have three O's. Okay? So later it might be hard to fix. But you see, the slide, the glide move shown here can actually be done in bulk. If I had a bulk of U crossings followed by a bulk of O crossings, I could fix all of them at once. So the algorithm to fix a tangle would be to search for a UUUUU pattern followed by an OOO pattern, and then like here, and then apply a glide move and you fixed it. Now you have one less UO transition. So every tangle can be made into an OU tangle. Furthermore, you can check that the result is essentially unique. Namely, so if you have two UO intervals in the same tangle, it doesn't matter in which order you fix them. So if the two UO intervals are far away from each other, then clearly it doesn't matter in which order you fix them. If they intersect like here, so this is here along this strand, there is a U then O, and along this strand, there is a U and this O, and these two UO intervals intersect, have a common endpoint, but if I fix both of them, it doesn't matter in which order, in both cases, I get this result. So the result of this fixing UO into OU is independent of the order. There is actually another case, I'll skip it because I don't have time, but it also works. The conclusion is every tangle can be brought into OU form. Now, this OU form, and you can check that if you do Rademeister moves before the conversion to OU, they translate to Rademeister moves after the conversion to OU. Now, once you've converted to OU, you cannot do Rademeister 3s because Rademeister 3s kill the OU, so you can own the OU property. So that's easy to check. So you can only do Rademeister 1s and 2, but modulo Rademeister 1 and 2, every braid has a unique minimal, every tangle has a unique minimal representative. You just greedily remove all Rademeister 2 options until you're left with a minimal answer. So therefore, every tangle you convert to OU by the algorithm I presented, then you reduce it modulo R1 and R2, then you get a canonical answer, and it classifies tangles, and in particular, since 1-1 tangles are not, it classifies knots, and all of you can go home and switch something, look for something else to do, because knot theory is now dead. Well, I still have 7 minutes or so. Well, unfortunately, I told you lies. So the lie came in the fact that sometimes you have a UO interval whose ends, the U and the O, are the same. Like here, in a kink, here is, well, if you go from here to here, it's an unders and over interval, but the two ends are the same, and then the picture for the glide move fails. And you can say, well, that's an R1 issue, who cares about R1? But you see, it can also happen in both, and now it's not an R1 issue. So here you have an under, under, over, over. And if you try to fix this UUOO using the bulk glide move, you find that one of the U's is the same as one of the O's, and that kills the story. Sorry. So now the next thing you can say is, well, so the subject is dead. But you see, if something is really fun, it's not a good idea to bury it too soon. So, I'll skip this one for lack of time. That's what happens if you try to apply the glide algorithm to the picture before. But anyway,
question?
Yes.
There's a question from Melissa Zhang. I've never thought about something like bridge index for tangles, but it sounds like being OU is something like being one bridge for tangles.
Sort of, yes. Okay. So, but you see, so the idea is dead, but not entirely dead, because maybe it works for some subsets of the set of tangles, or for some supersets, or for some subsets of supersets, or in some completion, or in some quotient, or in some image, or some incompletion of some subset of a superset. And, you know, maybe you can mine something out of this idea, even though, as told, it is dead. Okay? So, in fact, braids are actually all OU tangles. And the proof is in the picture I've shown you before. Here is a braid. I play with it, and at the end, I got it. So basically, this braid is made out of green little pieces and black pieces. And here it's curved green pieces in the plane and still black pieces. But the black pieces are always over the green pieces. So if you read it from the top down, you see an OU tangle, first O, then U. So all braids are OU. And in fact, the process of converting a braid to an OU tangle via glide moves, using glide moves as before, is exactly this process, and it's a complete invariant of braids. And the story I was telling before about graphs is about reversing this process. But you see, for the lack of time, I will skip the description of what are virtual knots, virtual braids, and virtual tangles, and hope that many people know. But everything I said about you works for virtual braids just as well. So if you have a virtual braid, there is a unique virtual OU tangle corresponding to it. And that's a complete invariant of virtual braids. And here I should say that this, in fact, is related to an old conjecture by Manturov, and it's in essentially a rewording of the PhD thesis of Oleg Sterntal. Okay. And by the way, this means that you can enumerate virtual braids very, very easily, because all you have to do is you have to generate all the generator, you know, look at all possible words and then count how many values the invariance has. So here is a table of the number of n strand pure virtual braids with up to m crossings for various small values of n and m. And for all I know, this table was never printed before, And it's even scarier because you can do the same for classical braids. You could have done this 100 years ago, and for all I know, this table was never printed before. Am I wrong about this? I mean, this is roughly the Rolfson table of braids, or just the number of braids in the Rolfson table of braids. For all I know, it was never printed before. Anyway, I just have about half a minute, and I want to tell you that there is a lot more to OU. So somehow the problem with why the OU, why the gliding algorithm failed, had to do with the fact that the overstrand and the understrand are coupled too tightly. If you move one, the other one moves too, so you cannot do glide moves. But in algebra, so if you use R matrix invariants and you map this to a thing like this, if you haven't seen R matrix invariants, I'm not sure I can explain them now, but basically you map this to a sum of product, sorry, a sum of a sum like this, then the bond between the over and the under becomes much more loose. It's just a summation in a tensor product, and now you can move them independently. And I obviously don't have the time to tell you, but if you pursue this, you find that this explains so basically the glide moves explain the so-called Greenfield double construction, where you get to quantize, say, GLN by first quantizing the upper part and the lower part, and then combining them using this double procedure. Similarly, you can use surgery to loosen the bond between over and under, and then because now you have surgery cycles, which in themselves can be taken far away, and that gives you a completion in which the gliding theorem does work. You allow all surgeries. Well, that takes you into three manifolds, but now you are things actually do work, and there are lots of other places so where OU ideas are actually hidden. So in fact, almost everything about quantization of Levi algebras is actually OU related, and that's how I got to it. And it really has to do with PBW in Lie algebras and normal ordering, and there are some other places where OU ideas occur, and I will not tell you about them. Thank you.
Have we got any questions for Drawer?
I have a question.
Yes, Jeff.
So actually, I think Melissa's comment about the bridge number seems possibly important here, because it's not quite that the tangle is one bridge, it's that every strand has one bridge, which is to say that the tangle's trivial. So I would guess that you can only make a tangle over under if it's a trivial tangle. And of course, braids are a special...
Not trivial, braid.
I'm saying trivial tangles are a larger class than braids, and your algorithm of stirring the tahini works for trivial tangles too.
Oh, yes, you're right. The only, it's not hard to show that every OU tangle in the classical sense is a braid.
This really?
This is no longer true for virtual braids. So somehow, yes, the idea dies the way I told it right away. Mm. But the point is that there are subsets, supersets, completions, images in which the idea doesn't die. And, you know, in the virtual case, it's no longer true that everything OU is a braid. In various completions, it has various other meanings. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, why don't we thank Drew and Kyle again, and then people with more questions can keep bothering them. All right, don't forget the graduate student tea happening on Thursday from 5 to 7, and join us next week for the trend seminar, same time, same place. Bye.